The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Are the Celtics the new beast of the East? Giannis had 18 in the fourth quarter during that comeback of Wednesday night's season opener, last night's season opener against the Celtics at TD Garden. But the two-time most valuable player, he's the reigning and defending consecutive MVP of the NBA, at least in the regular season. Wasn't thinking about that after the game. He was thinking about the point he didn't score because he hits that free throw. They go into overtime. By the way, I felt that he should not have been on the line. I thought that was a goaltend. And therefore, the point should have counted and they should have already been in overtime, right? But they weren't. He had to ice the free throws and he missed. He said after the game, because he missed the second free throw with 0.4 seconds remaining, would have put him in OT. I'm upset about it. Finished with 35 and 13 in 36 minutes, by the way. Last year, Giannis, I'm rounding up, and I'm doing it off the top of my head, but I think it was 30, 13, and like 6 with a block and a steal a game or something like that. Like, by the way, in 30 minutes a game, 35 and 13 in 36 minutes last night in his first game since signing his 5-year Supermax contract with Milwaukee earlier this month. But you can't change it, so it's done. Hopefully, when I'm in the same position, I can make the next one. That's the mentality you've got to have. I'm a winner, and I want to do whatever it takes for my team to win. But, you know, you learn from every situation that basketball puts you in. What happened on that final sequence on the missed free throws? Giannis, let's hear you say the things I just said.
And then I told you, just throw the ball high. Throw it high and try to go get it. We have 0.4 seconds. Just if you don't see if Chris is now wide open, if Dante's not wide open, I think Pat's not wide open. Just throw the ball high and try to go get it. Finally made the first one, missed the second one. You know, that was it.
That was it. By the way, Tatum hit the game-winning shot. It's not like he called glass. You know, stop it. He a nice step back. Tatum is a dangerous offensive player. But they were a little lucky, the Celtics, to win that game. And they had a big lead, and the Bucks came back on them. But the story of the game was actually the Celtics. That's the headline from the game. And who on the Celtics was the headline? Jaylen Brown. Because Jaylen Brown, it turns out, may be just about as good as Jason Tatum. And the truth is, that's been the case for a couple of years, but we all saw in Tatum more upside. We saw a more polished overall offensive game. And so we thought, yeah, they're 1A and 1B, but Tatum's going to start to put distance between himself and Jaylen. That has not happened. It's not because Tatum hasn't developed. He has. Jaylen Brown's just that good. Boy, he is. Perkins was talking about it on First Take today. When you talk about the elite two-way wings in the NBA, where's Jaylen Brown fit in? Now you think about, like, the team totally differently. No Kemba for a while this season, and when he comes back, who knows what you have. No Gordon Hayward, right? But you bring in Tristan Thompson, some size, can play. Marcus Smart is a beast when it counts, especially. And the main thing is you have two wings who are elite, right? If Jaylen Brown keeps this up, yeah, the Celtics are deep. Tice, or how are you supposed to say his name? Pronounce all these German names. Maxi Kleber is somehow Kleba. And I should know how to pronounce it better because I speak some Yiddish, so like I should understand. But it, yeah. Tice, okay, whatever you say. I don't know if it was spelled T-I-C-E. In America, I would get Tice, but it's spelled Theus, but it's called Tice. Okay, but he's good. By the way, the Celtics have above average minimum at every position, and they have depth, and they have coaching. They're really, really good. They were lucky to beat the Bucks last night. Let's be honest. They were lucky to beat them. They were lucky to hit the game winner. They were lucky. And by the way, they built a big lead. Giannis went nuts. There was nothing they could do. They got lucky on Tatum's shot. They got lucky on the non-goaltend call that should have been a goaltend, I guess because they called the foul before that. And they got lucky that Giannis missed the free throw. And that they didn't get the rebound, right? A lot of luck for the Celtics to barely beat the Bucks. But the East is a beast nowadays, period. The Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers. Did you see? By the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Did you see this dude, Tyrese Maxey? How many minutes did he play last night? for the Sixers because he was picked in 20-something. He should have been a lottery pick, no doubt. He didn't even play that much. But this dude is a baller, a baller. By the way, bad for James Harden because if I'm the Nets, I'm not sacrificing that depth for James Harden. When I have unselfish players who can go get their own shot like Dinwiddie or Caris LeVert, but are willing to either come off the bench or not over-dribble and give up the ball for the two superstars, I'm not messing with that for James Harden, who doesn't have chemistry with Chris Paul, doesn't have, you know, gets his own guy in there and Westbrook, his boy, and they don't have chemistry on court, even his boy. And now he wants out and he's 32 years old and he's a ball stopper. I don't want that if I'm the Nets. And if I'm the Sixers, I'm not giving up Ben Simmons after the way I saw KD play. I need a defense on KD. Who else can defend him? Like, no one's going to really stop him one-on-one. But the best dude available is going to be Ben Simmons. I'm not giving that up if that's the team I have to face. You see when they surrounded Embiid with shooters, by the way, and played five out? Or at least Embiid, you know, running kind of like point center. Ooh, that's tough. But this dude, Maxey, is a baller. And Shake Milton is showing you that last year was not a fluke. He can actually ball. Sixers are going to be a problem. And by the way, yeah, look, Seth Curry stunk. And Danny Green's old. He doesn't move on defense the way he used to. But Danny Green, and if he has the worst year of his career, what's he going to shoot? 35% from three? And at least have a physical presence on defense? And Seth Curry and Danny Green ain't missing all their threes all year, folks. That ain't happening. They're going to hit a lot of threes. And they didn't hit any last night, basically. And the Sixers still look pretty good. Sixers are going to be a problem. The East is good. By the way, I just mentioned the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Sixers. The Nets are getting out of the East, right? That's four right there. I haven't even mentioned the Eastern Conference champions. None of the Western Conference teams won more than a game from the Lakers in the playoffs. The Heat won two. Well, because they don't really have a Giannis or a KD-level player. Yeah, that's true, but Jimmy Butler's awful good. And Tyler Hero is an ascending star. And they got dudes who can shoot the lights out, like Duncan Robinson. And Bam Adebayo is a top big in the East, like a top three in the East. They are really, really good. So what's that now? I'm up to six. Is the Western Conference even better than the Eastern Conference? I don't think so anymore. I'm not sure. The Lakers are the best team in basketball. But I don't, like, the Nets may be, you know, might give them some run. And then when you go down the list, the Clippers, the Nuggets in the West, now the Rockets ain't going to be anything. By the way, the Wizards are better than they were, right? Westbrook with a triple-double and Bradley Beal killing them. It's one of the best, arguably the best backcourt in basketball. I'm going to get to the best backcourt in basketball in a second. It's the second best backcourt in basketball. The best backcourt in basketball we also saw in action in the late game on ESPN last night. That's Chris Paul. I'm just making sure my mic is still on. The best backcourt in basketball is Chris Paul and Devin Booker. These are three-level scorers at all-star level. One of them a mastermind offense kind of coordinator and an orchestrator in Chris Paul, and one of them like a little mini Kobe Bryant, the way he can score from anywhere in Devin Booker. And then they have perfect complementary 3-and-D guys who do both things at an extraordinarily high level in Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges. And then they have a guy in DeAndre Ayton, who's the number one overall pick, who is already a better-than-average NBA player and has a lot of room for improvement, and he's the biggest question mark. And you got Jay Crowder off the bench. Like, the Suns are really good, and I wasn't even most impressed by them. I got to get into the Dallas Mavericks in a little while. Right now, Damian Woody joins us on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. Wood!
Max, what's up, brother?
What's going on, man? You know, let me just set the stage for Damian Woody. Damian Woody has a gang of kids, and they're all high-achieving, you know, academics, and got some in college here and there, and they're all home, right, because of COVID and because of the vacation. You got a big, happy family there, and Damian Woody used to show up on First Take when the pandemic hit, and he's broadcasting from his house, as we all are, and he looked like Scarface with the two columns behind him, an elaborate mansion, wherever you are. Damian, you made a lot of money in the NFL. God bless you. And you're like the king of the castle. And little by little, your family started pushing you into the, as the kids are all home, started pushing you further and further into the corners of your house. And then today on First Take, you were all the way in the corner with a little Christmas tree behind you. And the Wi-Fi stopped working because you know all the kids are on TikTok and on Zoom meetings with their friends and stuff, Zoom parties. And Damien, don't you tell the kids, like, Daddy has to be on TV. You got to leave me some bandwidth. Like, how does that conversation go?
Well, I thought I was good because, you know, it's here it is, Christmas Eve. You know, everybody's probably sleeping in and all those type of things. But, you know, lo and behold, with the whole social media, everybody's like on every social media. So, you know,
how many kids you got, Damien?
You know how many I have. I have seven.
Seven kids. Are they all on social media?
Most of them are.
Because I see you doing TikTok dances on your daughter's TikTok.
Oh, we're going to do another one this evening, so everybody be on the lookout for that.
Okay, Damien Woody and his daughter doing a TikTok dance on TikTok tonight. We release it tonight, the hot new TikTok dance. Damien,
that's right.
Let me get to Haskins. He's no longer a captain with the Washington football team. He messed up, you know, partying, no mask, the whole thing. But let me give you my take on that quick, and I want you to react and tell me what you think. It was stupid for him to do. More is expected of franchise quarterbacks, right? And he was drafted in a position that tells you they want him to be that. When I was 23 years old, I did a lot of stupid things, too. This is not the biggest crime in the world. It's just a stupid kind of 23-year-old mistake. I don't see this as like, well, that shows you he's a bad apple. And I'll tell you something else. Dwayne Haskins is not one of these fleet-footed quarterbacks who can hit the ground running literally and figuratively in his first season like we see nowadays when everyone wants him to be all pro by their second year. He's much more like an old-school quarterback. He's kind of mobile, but he ain't a runner. And he has a strong arm, but it's not a howitzer. And he's going to be a guy like in the old days, it used to take 2-3 years for that guy to develop into a solid starter. I think Haskins can still do that. So far, you have to say he's a first-round bust, but I wouldn't say that's the end of the story. I would still think he can develop. Where are you on Dwayne Haskins?
Well, listen, I don't want to keep beating the drum, but you know what he did was definitely stupid. I understand, you know, at 23, and we've all been there. We've done a lot of dumb things. But you got to understand, you're the face of the franchise. And I know he's taken over for injured Alex Smith, but he was a guy that was handpicked basically by Dan Snyder. He was Dan Snyder, the owner's draft pick. He's from the Maryland area. And so there's always going to be a lot of eyes on him. And this is not the first time that he's, made a mistake like this season. He had a situation where he tried to sneak someone into the team hotel. He apologized for that, and then he comes right back and does something stupid again. So, listen.
Damien, can we just talk about that for a second, though? Can we talk about that for 1 second? You're right. It's stupid. I'm not making excuses. But by way of explanation, he is 23 years old. He's an NFL first-round pick. He's making money. He's a young guy. If he ain't married, what's he supposed to do about that whole thing? Like, you're going to socialize.
Listen, Max, I get it. We were all that age. I get it. You're young. You got a lot of money in your pocket. I get it. But at the same time, you got to understand the circumstances. This is a franchise that's going in a different direction. You got Ron Rivera. He's not your guy. Dwayne Haskins knows that Ron Rivera didn't pick him. Mm-hmm. He's not his guy. So you got to be on your P's and Q's. You can't do anything that's not going to ingratiate yourself with the head coach, because ultimately he's making all the decisions within that organization.
And yeah, so, or pretty soon, if you keep making those decisions, then the one you try to sneak in says, what am I doing here? I'm going to go see Aunt Daniel Jones. I'm going to go see one of the first round picks is panning out. But seriously,
it's a situation where I don't think Dwayne Haskins is going to be there after this year. I think they're going to try to trade, or they're going to move on from Dwayne Haskins this year. Do I think he'll have a chance somewhere else? Maybe. There's no question. He only started one full season at Ohio State, and yep. It was a very good one, but he didn't have that many snaps, before his pro
career. What I mean. That's why I give him a longer leash, because one season as a starter in college showed a lot of improvement throughout the course of that season. Not a prototypical modern quarterback, much more like a throwback where it used to take 2-3 years to develop into a solid starter. So I hear everything you're saying. I'm just saying Haskins is the kind of guy who may be written off by the league and pop up again later on as a guy coming off the bench who has a chance to start and wind up winning a starting job. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Meantime, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to stop his pregame dances on opposing teams' logos. Now, I was watching Get Up the other morning, and Mike Greenberg said the reason his son, who's 18, likes Juju Smith-Schuster is because of these TikTok dances. Damien, do your kids, are they aware of Juju through TikTok? Like, is his profile actually being raised by that stuff, or was it raised?
Yes. Like, I have three daughters that follow him on TikTok. Like, they are aware of the things that Juju Smith-Schuster does on TikTok. And so when I told them about, he's not going to be doing the whole dancing on the, in the midfield at stadiums, they were kind of shocked. They was like, that's who he is. Why would people hate on him for him being Juju Smith-Schuster?
Know what the answer is? You know what the answer is?
I'm listening.
This is what you need to tell your daughters. Because Ben Roethlisberger can't throw it down the field anymore, Juju's got to stop dancing. That's the reason they won't see him on TikTok doing that is because Roethlisberger can't throw the ball down the field. They're not getting run blocking. They have a predictable play call kind of pattern on their offense. And so they're already playing up for the run because they know there's not a deep vertical passing threat. They can't block for the run anyway, so there's no run game, and it's starting to go backwards on them. That's why if they had a quarterback who could get it down the field, Damien, Juju would still be dancing because they wouldn't be losing every game.
Well, listen, my feeling is like, I want you to be who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, once you start changing and doing things that's not reflective of who you are, it changes you as a player. And everyone that's talking about, well, he danced, on the midfield on the Bengals emblem, and that was his reason why they lost. That's a bunch of baloney. I don't know any player. You ask any player, when you get to actually game time, when you start playing these games, you're not thinking about bulletin board materials. You're not thinking about videos from TikTok. You're just trying to win a football game. So this whole notion that Juju was dancing just led to somehow the Pittsburgh Steelers losing a game, it's a bunch of crap, to be honest with you.
Damien, do your kids get you Christmas gifts? Like, do you also open gifts from your kids, or are you just getting them the gifts still?
No, they give me stuff, but they always say, Dad, we don't really know what to get you because you can go get whatever you want.
Yeah.
So, but they give me like sentimental stuff and, I smile and feed into it, but yeah. They always say, Dad, we don't know what to give you.
Yeah, my girls do the same thing, except then I notice they make everyone else. They make them a painting, a picture, a thing. I'm like, oh, make me one of those. That'd be nice. I mean, Hanukkah's already over, but still, I'll take one on Christmas this year if I get a gift from one of these kids. The great Damien Woody. Go ahead, Damien. I know you got things to do, and Raj is ushering you off already because he's incredibly rude.
I got to bake Christmas cookies now, Max. I got to fulfill my duties here.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, does your wife do it up on Christmas too? I know she does it up on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Like, just as big.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Listen. Damien Woody, he didn't get to be 300 pounds just by accident. Let's put it that way. He's eating good. The great Damien Woody, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, this dude maxed out on the bench over 500 pounds. 500 pounds on a bench press. I think my legs would snap if I tried to squat that weight. That's Damien Woody on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Merry Christmas, Damien, to you and your family.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The New York Post had such a great headline for Harden, James and the Giant Breach. Well, you got to give it to those headline writers for the tabloids. post in particular. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. What's going on with Harden and the Rockets? You're going to hear from Woj in a second. Would this count as a Woj bomb? Even if it's not a Woj bomb, it's some Woj ammo. Dude's a one-man industry. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Woj, what's happening behind closed doors with Houston and James Harden?
Well, listen, they hoped that they could just start the season with Harden on the floor, with John Wall, get off to a good start, and hope that it gave them some leverage in trade talks. And now they have a team tonight, now unable to put a team on the floor. And I think certainly, at least for this very near term, I think it puts the James Harden trade talks on the back burner. They've got to work through this and see what exactly his immediate future is with the team, or perhaps away from the team if there's a punishment or he's got to go back into a quarantine situation.
Now, Woj is talking reality. I just question the strategy of the Rockets. I don't think it's good strategy. I've said this on the show before. You have to do this the way you try to get a best deal from a car dealership. You need to let everyone know, we're not negotiating. I'm not coming back. I have this offer. Will you top that? Because that will draw the process out. Teams will bide their time and think, well, if anyone ups the market, I'll respond to that and let's get the most accurate market read on what's going on. The problem is the more time passes, the more Harden's value is lessened, the more he's devalued through his antics or just by his age, right? Because after this year, if you pick him up at the end of this year, toward the end of this year, trade deadline, you don't have a lot of time left with him. You have the rest of this season. Who knows how he gels with the team? You're really looking at next year. That's 1 year of Harden. What are you willing to give up for him? Less than for 2 years. So every day the value goes down. So the way you get the best value that you're ever going to get for him is not by finding exactly what his market value is through bidding. What you do is you tell everyone, we're trading Harden by this date. Come with your best and final right now. We're not negotiating. We're just going to take the offer we like the best. You'll get the best deal you're going to get for Harden, and you move on. Because you will move on from Harden if you're the Rockets. You're delusional if you think you won't. Fined 50 G's, by the way, after violating the NBA protocol. They made the announcement, the NBA did, that after reviewing the video of Harden partying maskless at a club, he violated the league's health and safety protocols, which, among other things, prohibit attending indoor social gatherings of 15 or more people or entering bars, lounges, clubs, or similar establishments. The league specified that Harden, quote, attended a private indoor party on Monday. Harden was tested negative for COVID-19 Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, a league source told our very own ESPN's Ramona Shelburne. The Rockets are awaiting word from the NBA's medical staff to determine how long of a quarantine will be required before he's cleared to return to the team. He'd forfeit $572,985, doesn't say how many cents, in salary for each missed game due to the violation. It's a lot of money. Look, James Harden, after watching the Nets and the Sixers, I don't think he's a match for either team. I wouldn't trade for him if I was either team. I love some of these young players on the Sixers. Tyrese Maxey and by the way, you know who wasn't getting any burn? Thybulle. Thybulle could defend, really defend, and shake Milton and everything. And you're like, yeah, come on. But you can find guys like that. Although Maxey might have a real future. He should have been a lottery pick based on what I saw last night. But he didn't even play that much. But he's really good. It's not so much just that. Well, Harden is this like valuable commodity and the other guys are kind of fungible. You can find guys like that. It's that the other guys are on the Sixers now and provide them with the kind of depth shooting and playmaking ability and defense, depending on who you're talking about on that Sixers roster, that really make them a deep and interesting team, especially with like Seth Curry and Danny Green missed every shot last night, basically. That ain't going to happen all year. It's never going to happen again, probably. Those guys can shoot. And Embiid looked great when he needed to turn it on. And the Nets, too. The Nets look really good. I wouldn't give up Caris LeVert and Dinwiddie and Allen and all these guys for a guy who can potentially wreck your chemistry and is going to stop the ball. Now, they got to trade him soon. Listen, Let me tell you my big takeaway from yesterday watching the NBA. Great to have it back. That late game, the Mavs versus the Suns, I was really looking forward to. It's a shame Porzingis didn't play, but understand, as good as the Suns looked, and they looked really good. And when you think about, okay, forget about the starting five for a second. Really, when you think about a team, you usually think about six players, the starters plus your sixth man, right? And then seven, eight, and nine, like those rotation pieces are important. But when you're really thinking about when you're matching teams up, you're usually thinking about how's the starting five and who's the number one guy off the bench. Well, Chris Paul, you can barely do better in the history of basketball than Chris Paul at point guard. You can do better, but not much. And Devin Booker is an all-around great scorer. And both Paul and Booker can score from anywhere. And then when you have two ball-dominant guys like that, who can play on and off the ball really well, because both can, what you're really looking for in terms of rounding out the rotation, the starting five, is you want 3-and-D guys. And you want those 3-and-D guys not just to be in name, but indeed, like really operate on a high level. And Mikal Bridges and Cam, what's Cam's last name? Johnson? No, I'm forgetting already. Anyway, the point is they're both really good 3-and-D guys, like really good. And of course, the number one pick, DeAndre Ayton. With Chris Paul there, you expect him to get, and then a guy like Jay Crowder. They're the Suns. Like, do I think the Suns are going to win the chip? No. What's their ceiling? Western Conference Finals? Suns could make it to the Western Conference Finals. It's not impossible. They're one of five or six teams that might. The Lakers are going to be there. And then it's either going to be the Clippers or the Trailblazers or the Nuggets or the Mavs or the Suns. The Suns, they have a shot. I didn't even bring up Utah. And Utah, I don't know. I don't like them as much as some of the other teams I just mentioned, but they're good. It's let alone if the Pelicans take the next step. Like, what if Zion becomes MVP caliber this year? I don't know why he was like, Zion wasn't just like a normal all-star last year. He was like, whoa, that dude is awesome. And he's just learning the NBA. Yeah, the Suns are one of those kinds of teams. And let me tell you, I was not most impressed by them. I was more impressed by the team that lost. And let me tell you why. Well, they didn't have Porzingis. That's right, their second best player. They didn't have him. And yet, they were competitive. But do you know why they were competitive? Well, they have Luka Doncic. Yes, they do. And Tim Hardaway Jr. is a real good guy. Like also, kind of like a name brand guy who put up points on a bad team and was a little overrated early in his career. But he's good. He's actually good now. A two-way player. And then talk about 3-and-D guys, Maxi Kleba and Dorian Finney-Smith, real 3-and-D guys with size in the front court. And then Porzingis, when he's healthy, let's put it this way. I think Porzingis could win an MVP in his career if he stays healthy. He's one of those guys that could do it. He's a defensive game transformer. The other offense does not operate the same way when he's on the floor. And offensively, he hasn't even gotten all the way there yet, and he's already awesome. Think about him in the bubble. How many players played better than him in the playoffs? Very few in the whole NBA. The reason they can play that way against a team like the Suns was very good and well-coached. The Mavs can, even without Porzingis. It's not just Doncic. Doncic didn't play great last night, I didn't think. I saw him try to do a step-back three like he's James Harden instead of like he had an open lane. Just, you know, score the ball. The real issue is the Dallas Mavericks are exceptionally well-coached, especially on offense. You know how you know? When you see a team, a busted play, right, or something's being stopped from the play they're trying to run is being stopped by the defense. The Suns are playing good, active defense. What is their answer? Can they answer again and again and again and again? The Mavs offense has an answer for whatever your defense does. Now, the shots weren't always falling, but they were good shots. The spacing was excellent. Everyone knew where they needed to be and got there. Everyone was constantly on offense where they needed to be, no matter what the defense did. When Porzingis gets back, you know what that means? They're really a sleeper. I don't know if I like anyone in the West, other than the Lakers, more than I like Dallas. And they lost last night. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Merry Christmas Eve, everyone. Got a question for me? Ax Max next. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. You don't have to miss a thing. tune in tomorrow for a Christmas Day doubleheader. Oh, I got to actually run errands, believe it or not, right? I got to drive to this relative's house because they're one of the few people that we've actually been in contact with in COVID. And I got to drive. I'm going to miss this. No, you don't. The Nets visit the Celtics, followed by Mavs and Lakers. Nets, Celtics, Mavs, Lakers. Are you kidding? There is such a good chance that that is the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals. Don't have to miss a thing if you're in the car. Coverage begins at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
All right. Dr. Pepper Cole in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Frank in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What you want to ask me?
Hey, Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas to you.
I was just wondering, I mean, it's early in the NBA season, but do you think the Lakers are going to need one more scorer or someone else to repeat the championship this year?
No, and in fact, they have the scorer. His name is Talen Horton Tucker. That dude can score the rock. And Kyle Kuzma just re-signed. And, you know, Kuzma, I don't believe in Kuzma, I got to be honest. But the Lakers apparently do. And LeBron apparently does. And we have seen Kuzma be a good scorer on a bad team. If he can become even a decent scorer on a great team, that's a whole lot of problems, man. Like, think about the Lakers for a second. LeBron James is your point guard, right? And he can guard multiple positions. He's your point guard. And AD really is your center, right? Now, who else can you put in there in that rotation when you look at that team? Like, Talen Horton Tucker, that's your sixth man to me. Alex Caruso can really play. Wes Matthews is a legit 3-and-D NBA player still, and they got him on the cheap. Mark Gasol can stretch the floor and still defend, certainly for chunks of time. He's not a starting all-star caliber center anymore, but he can give you some of the defense, if not the activity that Dwight gave you, but with shooting ability. They've done a great job. They really have. And Montrezl Harrell, a really energetic power forward. KCP was not good in the regular season. And I always feel like KCP is a guy who he has a very well-rounded game offensively, but none of the facets of his game are pitched quite high enough to start, you know? So he's like a good bench player. But in the playoffs, he stepped up. You know what I say about playoffs? That's really, you know, high IQ time. That's when the plays matter. And then Schroeder. Like, you lost playoff Rondo, that's true, but Schroeder is younger and more athletic, and he's coming off the best season of his career. No, I don't think the Lakers need any more scoring. I think they're fine. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max? Happy holidays. What I wanted to ask you is, how do you feel about the end of the Eastern Conference and the return to parity in the NBA? You talked about it. The top of the East is much better in terms of Philly, Boston, Milwaukee, and Miami, and we know that Brooklyn's in pole position, but also the bottom of the Eastern Conference in terms of Atlanta, Washington, Chicago, and Cleveland. How do you feel about the two conferences now having balance and the race for that championship getting
first time in ages? Like, I don't remember the last time the East was basically on par with the West. Think about it. The Nets and the Lakers, that's legit. Like, Lakers should be better, but that's legit. There's powerhouses. Are the Trailblazers, Clippers, and Nuggets and Mavs better than the Celtics and the Bucks and the Heat? I don't know. I don't think so. I think they're all around the same. No, I agree. There's more parity than ever before. The Western Conference still has an edge, but really not by much. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Andre just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call online. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.